Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Now, this is a cool Sunday. We have the privilege of having Pastor Michelle and his wife Lois here. So Pastor Michelle, I'd like to invite you up, and Lois, come on up. Now, because we're a generous church, we're a globally engaged church. This is a cool thing to be a part of. Because people give, because people are so faithful and to go above and beyond in their tithes and offerings, we're able to be a church that's not just doing a good job here, but we're involved in what God's doing all around the world. And that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And so we've got today a representation of that, of our global engagement, Pastor Michelle and his wife Lois. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we have sister churches. We have one in Peru, one in Burkina Faso, and we also partner with the church in France. And so Pastor Michelle was, up until very recently, the president of the Alliance denomination in France, and he also pastors the church, so he's got a lot of jobs. And then Lois does all the real work, so she's got the hardest job. And so we're fortunate to have them here today. I want to start off just by saying, who are you guys? How long you been married? How'd you meet? How many kids do you have? All right, let's start with this one. Where are you from? Okay, you notice. Listen to how good Lois's accent is. Her English accent is spot on. Listen to this.
I'm from Mitchell, South Dakota.
That's why. And where are you from, Pastor?
I'm from Toulouse.
Where is Toulouse?
Southern France.
Southern France.
Si.
And so he told me earlier that's why he has a southern accent. He's from the south of France. How long have you guys been married?
41 years.
Wow, 41 years. And how many kids you got?
Five boys and a daughter.
Five boys and a girl. And can you remember their ages off the top of your head? Let's ask Dad this time.
Age of...
All of them.
Oh, wow. 40.
40?
39.
39.
46. 44.
Okay.
43.
Oh, my goodness.
And
all the 30s.
31.
31. And how many grandkids do you have then?
13.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah.
How on earth did you guys meet? It's not very often you meet someone, a girl from South Dakota and a guy from France, and they get married. How did you meet?
God called me to the mission field when I was 16.
That's just a couple years ago.
I wish. And I got there when I was 20. And Michelle spoke to me in English. But I was in a Bible school. I wasn't supposed to speak English. But I didn't know a word of French, so I was very happy.
That's good stuff. And can you tell me now, this is real important. I've been wanting to ask you this. So you're French, you're American. What is the biggest difference you notice between the French and the Americans?
I'm happy to say that Americans are more positive and French people are more pessimistic.
Is this true, Pastor?
Yes. And, you know, I was bright enough to marry somebody brighter, an American.
Good stuff. All right, so if you guys will stand right over here.
Okay.
We've got a few words. You know, there's a lot of words that we use in English that are actually French words.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw them out. Okay, this is a word we all know, right? Pastor Michel, how do you say this word in French?
Croissant.
No, it's croissant, isn't it?
No. Croissant.
Croissant. Okay. All right, the next word. How do you say this?
Charcuterie.
How do you guys say this? Charcuterie.
Ah, it's good.
How do you say it?
Charcuterie.
Can you guys try that? Let's try it one time. That's almost there. Almost there. All right. Next one. This is a city that is just a little northeast of us. How do you say this, Pastor?
De Père.
Is that how we pronounce it? Do you know this is a French word? How do we say this city?
De Père.
De Père. So next time you go back to France, you got to say De Père.
De Père.
All right, one last one. Now this is a city just a little south of us.
Fond du Lac.
Is that how we say it? Fond du Lac.
Okay.
Can you try to pronounce it the right way? Can you say?
Fond du Lac.
No. Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac? This is a Quebec accent.
Okay, come out here. All right, so what we're going to do, let's pray for them. I want to pray that God would bless them, bless their family, bless their ministry. And then Pastor Michelle is going to open up the Bible and preach a message this morning from the New Testament. And I want us all to ask that God would help us open our hearts to receive the word that Pastor Michelle is going to bring us. So would you pray with me now, church? Lord, I thank you so much. What a joy it is to be a part of a church that is involved overseas, and that we would get to have a brother and sister in Christ, a pastor, a pastoral couple who has given so much of their life to serving you. We would get to have them all the way over here in Hortonville, Wisconsin. We ask your richest blessing upon Pastor Michelle and on Lois. Bless their children, bless their grandchildren, Lord. Would you anoint them, God? Would you use them? Would you bring them everything they need to serve you fully, God? And I ask that as they continue to serve in pastoral ministry, that the seeds that they plant, the seeds of your word and the gospel, would take root and bear fruit, God, that more people would know who Christ is and trust Christ for salvation. God, that one day we'd be in heaven and there'd be a whole bunch of French people there because of the way you've worked through this couple. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And I ask you, God, now that as Pastor Michelle is going to preach out of the Bible, would you open our hearts to receive your word? In your wonderful and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll go get the
Here.
Here, this one.
Okay. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Ah, good accent. Bonjour. Je voudrais remercier le Seigneur avec mon épouse du chaleureux accueil qu'on a eu ici depuis qu'on est arrivé à Appleton.
You guys understood all that? You good? Okay, I'll translate a little bit.
Okay.
What do you want him to say? What do you want me to say to him? Say it slowly. No, I'm joking. He just says, I want to say thank you for the warm welcome. I want to give thanks to God. All right. Pastor Michel, he speaks great English, but he feels more comfortable preaching French, so he asked if we'd translate this.
Sorry, when I preach in English, it's like driving a car with a brake. I don't know if you understand that. Anyway, je remercie le Seigneur donc pour le privilège du partenariat entre l'église d'Appleton, votre église en fait, et l'église de France.
I just thank the Lord for the privilege to have this partnership between our church here and the church in France.
J'ai prié pendant des années que nous puissions avoir un partenariat avec des églises aux États-Unis.
I was praying for years that we'd actually be able to have a good partnership with a church in the U.S.
Pas simplement un mois, deux mois, une année, mais vraiment quelque chose de long terme.
Not just something like that lasts a month or two, but something long term.
Ce matin, j'aimerais vous apporter une exhortation.
This morning, I'd like to. T'aimerais quoi? Apporter un.
Une
j'ai
exhortation.
Pas compris. This morning, I'd like to bring you an exhortation.
D'être ce que Jésus veut que vous soyez.
To be who Jesus wants you to be.
Quand j'ai fait mon service militaire,
when I was doing my military service,
et j'étais dans un moment de décision pour mon avenir,
I was in a moment of decision for my future,
d'ouvrir un bureau comme architecte,
to open an architecture office,
ou de servir le Seigneur,
or to serve the Lord.
Et j'ai lu sur une table de l'armée du salut.
And I read on a table. C'est une table de quoi? J'ai pas compris ça.
Sur une table.
Une table de.
Dans un marché.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a table in a market, and I read on that table.
Les mots de William Booth, le fondateur de l'armée du salut.
the words of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army.
Nous avons qu'une seule vie à vivre sur terre. Pour qui, pourquoi allons-nous la vivre?
We only have one life on earth, and for whom and for what will you live it?
Un des défis que j'ai trouvé dans ma vie,
and something I found in my life,
c'est de comprendre ce que Jésus attend de moi.
Is to understand what Jesus really asks of me.
Dans la culture de nos églises, il y a des attentes d'être un chrétien de telle ou telle façon.
In the culture of our churches, there's these expectations of how to be a Christian in this or that manner.
Mais nous devons toujours regarder ce que Jésus dit, lui, qu'il attend de nous.
But we got to look at what Jesus says he wants from us.
Je suis en train d'écrire un livre sur ce que sont les marques du vrai disciple.
I'm currently writing a book on what it truly means, the marks of a disciple.
Le livre sera publié l'an prochain en France.
The book will be published soon in France.
Pourquoi avoir choisi ce thème?
And why did I choose this theme?
Parce que on parle beaucoup de multiplication de disciples, de faire des disciples.
Because we speak a lot of making disciples and multiplying disciples.
Mais j'ai peu trouvé de livres, en tout cas en France, qui parlent de ce que c'est qu'un disciple selon l'enseignement de Jésus.
But I had a hard time finding a book in France that taught what is a disciple according to Jesus.
Alors j'ai pris dans l'ordre chronologique du temps des évangiles.
So I took in chronological order according to the Gospels.
Ce que Jésus dit au sujet d'être un disciple.
What Jesus says on the subject of being a disciple.
Par exemple, en Jean 8, il est écrit qu'un disciple demeure dans la parole de Dieu.
For example, in John 8, it says that a disciple has to abide in the word of God.
En Luc 14, aimer Jésus-Christ par-dessus tout.
In Luke 14, it says you got to love Jesus above everything else.
Renoncer à tout ce que l'on possède.
You gotta renounce everything you possess.
Jean 13, s'aimer les uns les autres.
In John 13, a disciple has to love one another.
Jean 15, porter beaucoup de fruits.
In John 15, you've got to bear fruit.
Et ce matin, on va lire chapitre 8 de l'évangile de Marc.
And this morning, we're going to read Mark chapter 8.
Qui donne dans ce passage trois marques du vrai disciple.
And in this passage, it gives three more marks of a disciple.
Renoncer à soi-même.
Deny yourself.
Prendre sa croix.
Take up your cross.
Et suivre Jésus-Christ.
And follow Jesus Christ.
En fait, comme on a peu de temps,
in fact, since we don't have a ton of time,
on va juste prendre une petite part du chapitre de mon livre concernant renoncer à soi-même.
We're going to take just a little portion of one of the chapters of my book that talks about what it means to deny yourself.
Lors de l'implantation de l'église d'Antioche,
during the time of when the church was being planted in Antioch, in the
vous
book
savez
of Acts,
que c'est Barnabas qui a appelé Paul de venir tellement l'église grandissait.
You say, tu peux répéter ça? Oui. J'ai pas compris.
Barnabas a appelé Paul.
Oh, Barnabas had called Paul to plant churches.
Oui. Yeah. L'église grandissait beaucoup.
Yeah, so Barnabas had called Paul to help him plant churches, and the church was just growing like crazy.
Et c'est à ce moment-là que des non-chrétiens ont appelé les enfants de Dieu de l'église.
And it was during that time that non-Christians started calling Christians Christians.
Pourquoi? Parce que ils ressemblaient à Christ. Le mot chrétien dans le grec signifie comme Christ, petit Christ.
And why did they do this? Is because they looked so much like Jesus. They resembled Jesus so much. In fact, the word Christian means like Christ or little Christ.
Les membres de l'église d'Antioche était tellement rempli de l'esprit de Jésus-Christ que les gens de l'extérieur ont dit oui, ils sont comme Christ, l'enseignement de Christ.
So the members of the church in Antioch were so full of the spirit of Christ that the people in the world around the church said, oh, these people are like Christ.
Et je me demande si les gens nous voient vivre de l'extérieur pourraient dire, oui, oui, ils sont comme Christ, des petits Christ, si on a vraiment le témoignage de Jésus.
And so I wonder, would the people around us say the same thing? Oh, they're like little Jesuses when they see our lives.
Parfois dans nos églises,
sometimes in our churches,
on fait une distinction entre chrétiens et disciples.
We make a distinction between Christians and disciples.
Voilà, c'est un chrétien, mais lui, c'est vraiment un disciple.
We say things like, oh, yeah, they're Christians, but this guy's really a disciple.
Mais ce n'est pas l'enseignement de Jésus.
But that's not the teaching of Jesus.
Jésus désire à ce qu'on soit des disciples qui le suivent.
Jesus wants us to be disciples who actually follow him.
En fait, le mot chrétien se trouve que trois fois dans le Nouveau Testament.
In fact, the word Christian is only found three times in the New Testament.
Mais le mot disciple se trouve 276 fois.
But the word disciple is found 276 times in the New Testament.
Le mot disciple vient d'un verbe grec.
And the word disciple comes from a Greek word.
Qui signifie apprendre, étudier.
Which signifies to learn and to study.
Un disciple est quelqu'un qui est enseignable et qui est capable d'enseigner les autres.
A disciple is someone who is teachable, but also capable of teaching others.
Ce matin, nous allons répondre à deux questions.
This morning, we're going to try to answer two questions.
Pourquoi le disciple devrait-il renoncer à lui-même?
Why should a disciple deny themselves?
Et comment le disciple doit-il renoncer à lui-même?
And how can a disciple
Et
deny themselves?
Et je vous invite à lire le passage en Marc chapitre 8 versets 34 à 38.
So we're going to start by reading Mark chapter 8 verses 34 through 38. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
Pourquoi le disciple devrait-il renoncer à lui-même?
Why should a disciple deny themselves?
La première raison, c'est qu'en fait, le croyant ne s'appartient plus à lui-même.
The first reason is because the believer doesn't actually belong to themselves.
La Bible dit en 1 Corinthiens, chapitre 6, versets 19 et 20, que notre corps est devenu le temple du Saint-Esprit.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that our body is actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body.
En fait, le croyant ne s'appartient plus à lui-même.
In fact, so Christians, we don't belong to ourselves anymore.
Notre corps est devenu le temple du Saint-Esprit.
Our body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Notre esprit appartient à Christ qui nous a rachetés.
And our spirit belongs to Jesus who redeemed us.
En fait, Jésus-Christ est venu au marché des esclaves nous racheter.
It's like Jesus came into a slave market to buy us out of that slave market.
Nous étions esclaves du péché et de nos passions.
We were slaves to our sins, to our passions.
Et Jésus nous a rachetés par son sang.
And Jesus purchased us with his own blood.
Et en retour de son amour, on est devenu esclaves à notre tour de Jésus.
And so the response to that, in return, we become his slaves. He buys us, we're not slaves anymore.
Le mot serviteur que l'on voit souvent dans nos Bibles vient du mot grec qui en fait dit esclave.
And even the word servant that's used so often in the New Testament is actually the word slave.
Il est logique de donner sa vie à celui qui a donné sa vie pour nous.
It's logical that we would give our lives for the one who gave his life for us.
Et Paul nous donne une exhortation en Romains chapitre 12 versets 1 et 2.
And so Paul gives us this exhortation in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Dans les 11 premiers chapitres de l'Épître aux Romains,
and the first 11 chapters of the Epistle to the Romans,
Paul parle du plan de Dieu du salut pour l'humanité et pour Israël.
Paul speaks of the plan of God for the salvation of his people and of Israel.
Et il s'arrête au chapitre 12.
And he stops at chapter 12.
Parce qu'il est logique, après avoir vu le plan de Dieu, de se donner à Dieu.
He stops at chapter 12 because it's logical to have, after having heard the plan of God for salvation, to give yourself to God.
Une façon de se consacrer à Dieu.
One way to consecrate yourself to God.
C'est donner ses mains à Dieu.
Is to give your hands to God.
Pour faire ce qu'il veut que l'on fasse.
To do what God wants us to do with them.
De donner ses yeux pour voir ce que Dieu veut que l'on voit.
To give him our eyes so they can see what God wants us to see.
De donner ses oreilles afin d'entendre ce que Jésus veut qu'on entende.
To give him our ears to be able to hear what Jesus wants us to hear.
De donner sa bouche pour parler que ce que Jésus veut que l'on dise.
To give him our mouth so that we can say and speak what Jesus wants us to speak.
De donner ses pieds pour aller là où Jésus veut qu'on aille.
To give him our feet so we can go where Jesus wants us to go.
Bon, on pourrait développer plus ce verset, évidemment.
We could develop these verses a little more, obviously.
Il est logique de se donner à Christ parce que lui s'est donné à nous.
But it's just logical that we would give ourselves for Christ, to Christ, because he gave himself for us.
Et on ne s'appartient plus.
So we don't belong to ourselves.
Et c'est contre notre nature, n'est-ce pas, qui est souvent indépendante.
And it's totally contrary to our nature, isn't it, that we would be, because we're so independent.
La deuxième raison de notre consécration à Dieu.
And the second reason for our consecration to God,
c'est que Jésus est Seigneur.
Is because Jesus is Lord.
Quelqu'un a dit on devrait donner à Jésus la place qu'il a dans l'univers.
Someone once said that we need to give Jesus a place in our heart that he has in the universe.
J'aime beaucoup le passage en Colossiens, chapitre 1, 16 et 17.
I love a certain passage out of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And this is talking about Jesus. Every time it says him, this is Jesus. For by him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Dans ce passage, il est écrit que Jésus est le créateur parce qu'il est Dieu.
In this passage, it's written that Jesus is the creator because he is God.
Il est aussi le but de la création.
He's also the goal of creation.
Il est aussi celui qui soutient l'univers par sa puissance.
And he's also the one who sustains the universe by his power.
Savez-vous qu'à l'instant, vous êtes en train de bouger dans l'espace?
Do you know right now that you're currently flying through space?
50 mètres par seconde.
5 meters per second. Hey, we don't use metric here. No.
Accrochez vos ceintures.
Buckle up, he says.
Mais si Jésus est celui qui tient l'univers, ses milliards d'étoiles et ses milliards de galaxies.
So if Jesus is the one who holds this universe with the millions of stars and countless galaxies,
à combien plus forte raison on devrait lui donner la seigneurie dans nos vies?
How much stronger of a reason is that than to give ourselves to him who holds all things?
Peut-être vous connaissez la citation de Charles Spurgeon.
Maybe you know the quote from Charles Spurgeon.
Seigneur de tout ou pas seigneur du tout.
He says, Lord of all or not Lord at all.
L'autre raison est expliquée dans les versets 35 et 37. Que servirait-il à un homme de gagner tout le monde s'il venait à perdre son âme?
And then the other reason is given in that Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his own soul?
Dans le sud de la France, j'avais un ami très cher.
In the south of France, I had a friend that was real rich.
Il a hérité de ses parents une immense fortune et usine.
He inherited this huge fortune and this factory from his parents.
Et il roulait en Porsche.
Il voulait un quoi?
Un Porsche, une voiture.
Oh, he had a Porsche.
Et il avait une grosse BMW pour
and
la famille.
Had a big old BMW.
Et il avait un gros bateau.
And he had a big boat.
Et on allait ensemble skier dans les montagnes.
And we would go skiing in the mountains together.
Et j'ai fait du ski nautique.
And I did cross-country skiing. Ski nautique, c'est pas le ski alpin?
Skiing water.
Oh, no, nautique, c'est... Okay, no. Water skiing. Mais tu as dit dans les montagnes,
non, non,
alors j'ai pensé
ski alpin.
Que... Il y a ski alpin, ski nautique.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought you said cross-country ski.
No, no, no.
No.
This is for Quebec.
That's for Quebec.
And, pardon, je me souviens que, alors qu'il conduisait sa voiture de sport,
and I remember when he was driving his sports car,
je lui parlais de Jésus-Christ.
I was talking to him about Jesus.
Et je lui disais que la plus grande richesse dans la vie, c'est le salut en Jésus-Christ.
And I was telling him that the real treasure in life is the salvation of Jesus.
Mon ami est décédé à l'âge de 35 ans.
And my friend died at 35 years old.
Ses parents auraient donné toute leur fortune pour voir leur enfant guérir.
His parents would have given up their entire fortune if this man could have been healed.
Ils sont allés voir les plus grands docteurs à Paris.
They went to see the most important doctors in Paris.
Mais c'était le temps de Dieu pour lui et il est mort.
But it was the time that God had set for him and he died.
Cet ami
and this friend
était riche.
He was rich.
Il voulait devenir encore plus riche.
And he wanted to become even more rich.
Encore et encore plus riche.
And richer and richer.
Je ne sais pas ce qui s'est passé au dernier moment dans sa vie.
I don't know what happened at any given moment in his life.
Mais il est mort pauvre.
But he died poor.
Comment renoncer à soi-même?
How do you deny yourself?
Quelqu'un a dit, renoncer à soi-même, c'est dire adieu à son ego.
Someone said once said that to deny yourself is to say goodbye to your ego.
Je ne sais pas vous, mais moi, je n'ai pas la main verte.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a green thumb.
J'ai très peu planté dans ma vie.
I haven't planted very much in my life.
Et la première fois où j'ai planté une graine.
But the first time I planted a seed.
J'étais tout enfant.
I was just a little kid.
Et quand ça a commencé à pousser,
and when that started to grow,
j'ai tiré dessus pour essayer de l'agrandir.
Tu l'as tiré?
Ouais, pour essayer de grandir.
Oh, he pulled on it to see if it'd grow more.
Ça n'a pas marché, hein?
And that didn't work.
En fait, j'ai compris qu'il faut que la semence qui est plantée dans la terre,
what I learned was that whatever was sown into the ground,
il faut que la semence se décompose, meure.
It has to decompose, it has to die.
À travers la chaleur, l'humidité de la terre.
Using the heat and the humidity of the earth.
C'est le principe de la mort qui donne la vie.
And the principle is that the death actually brings life.
Jésus est mort afin qu'on ait la vie.
Jesus died so that we can have life.
Et Dieu me demande de mourir à moi-même.
And Jesus asks me to die to myself.
Et j'ai pas envie.
And I don't want to.
C'est seulement la grâce qui le fait dans ma vie, si je me donne à lui.
It's truly by his grace that we're able to do that.
Mais si je meurs à moi-même,
but if I die to myself,
j'ai la vie de Christ.
I have the life of Christ.
Et plus je meurs, plus j'ai la vie.
And the more I die, the more I live.
Et je préfère mourir à moi-même et être rempli de Christ que d'être rempli de moi-même.
And I could continue to die to myself so that I can be full of Christ and experience more life.
Ma mort en Christ engendre la vie en Christ.
My death in Christ gives birth to my life in Christ.
J'aimerais vous donner une illustration.
I'd like to give you an illustration.
Vous avez certainement entendu parler de Hudson Taylor.
You've probably heard of Hudson Taylor.
Ce missionnaire anglais qui est parti en Chine.
He was an English missionary to China.
Et il priait sur la carte de la Chine pour que le Seigneur sauve et visite la Chine.
And he was praying over a map of China that the Lord would save and visit China.
Et il s'est préparé pour partir en mission.
And he was getting ready to leave to the mission field.
Il était étudiant en médecine.
He was a medical student.
Il avait un logement à payer, il avait la nourriture à payer.
He had to pay rent, he had to buy food.
Mais il visitait des familles.
But he was visiting families.
Et un jour, il a rencontré un couple.
And one day he met a couple.
Et le mari l'a supplié de qu'il puisse avoir de l'argent pour payer des médicaments pour sa femme qui était malade.
And the husband was begging him to give him some money so that he could buy medicine for his wife who was sick.
Or ce jour-là.
Or ce quoi?
Ce jour-là.
That day.
Il lui restait seulement une pièce de monnaie qu'on appelle à l'époque en Angleterre la couronne, crown.
Uh-huh. He had just like one little coin left that in English they called a crown.
Et il l'avait au fond de la poche.
And he had it down in his pocket.
Et là, il a mis la main dans la poche, il tournait la pièce dans ses mains.
And so he had his hand in his pocket and he was turning that coin in his pocket.
Et il avait une bataille dans son cœur.
And he was having a battle in his heart.
Il a dit, mais si je donne tout ce que j'ai, je n'aurai plus rien.
And if I give everything I got, I won't have anything.
Mais il a donné la pièce au monsieur.
But he gave the coin to the man.
Vous savez, le peu que l'on donne.
You know, the little that we give.
Dieu peut faire un tout pour sa gloire.
God can do much with it for his glory.
Il a multiplié les pains et les poissons.
He multiplied the bread and the fish.
Parce que Hudson Taylor, un jour, a donné tout ce qu'il possédait.
And because Hudson Taylor that one day gave everything he had.
Dieu lui a donné la Chine.
God gave him China.
Vous savez, le peu que l'on retient.
You say the little bit that we do keep.
Dieu le voit.
God sees it.
Et parfois, nous empêchons Dieu d'agir dans nos vies parce que nous tenons quelque chose et pourtant c'est si petit en regard de l'éternité.
And sometimes we actually kind of get in God's way of him acting because we hold on to that little bit.
Un autre point, c'est que se consacrer à Jésus, c'est dépendre de Christ.
And another point is another way to consecrate yourself to Jesus is to depend on him.
Il a dit, je suis le cep, vous êtes les sarments.
He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches.
On n'a pas le temps de développer le chapitre 15 de Jean qui est magnifique.
We don't have time to preach the whole 15th chapter of John, which
Mais
is.
Ce qu'on peut retenir, c'est que Jésus a dit, sans moi, vous ne pouvez rien faire.
But what we need to remember is that in that chapter, Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything.
Vous savez, au Québec, on boit beaucoup de café.
You know, in Quebec, we drink a lot of coffee.
C'est un peu comme ici, non?
It's a little bit like here, right?
Et en tant que pasteur, j'aurais pu boire du café toute la journée.
And as a pastor, I could drink coffee all day.
Mais je n'aime pas trop le café.
But I don't even like coffee.
Et un jour, j'ai rencontré un homme qui était ouvert à l'évangile.
And one day, I met a guy who was open to the gospel.
Alors, je l'ai invité à boire un café chez moi.
So, I invited him to my house to have a coffee.
Et il était content de mon invitation.
And he was happy with that invitation.
Donc, il a frappé à la porte.
So he knocked on the door.
Et j'ai ouvert.
He opened it.
Et il avait avec lui une mallette.
He had a little briefcase.
Et quelqu'un d'autre avec lui.
And there was another person with him.
Il me dit, oh là là.
So I said, oh là là.
Qu'est-ce qu'il veut me vendre?
What does this guy want to sell me?
Il rentre à la maison.
He comes in the house.
On boit le café.
We drink the coffee.
Il me dit, oh Michel, t'as tous ces enfants.
He says, oh, Michelle, you have all these kids.
Et tu as une toute petite voiture.
And you got that little tiny car.
T'aimerais pas avoir une plus grande voiture?
Wouldn't you like a bigger car?
Je dis, oui, oui.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Et après, il me dit, oh là là, ta maison.
He says, oh là là, you have your house.
C'est une petite maison.
It's a little house, isn't it?
T'aimerais pas avoir une plus grande maison?
Wouldn't you like to have a bigger house?
Je dis, oui, oui.
Oh, yeah.
Puis il me dit, t'aimerais pas faire des voyages?
Wouldn't you like to travel more?
Ah, j'ai dit, oui, oui.
Yeah,
il me dit,
I
t'aimerais pas avoir un bateau?
Wouldn't you like to have a boat?
J'ai dit, non, j'ai le mal de mer.
He said, no, I get seasick.
Mais je me demandais, où est-ce qu'il veut en venir?
But I said, what is this guy trying to sell me?
Et il a pris une feuille de papier.
So he took a piece of paper.
Il a fait un cercle.
And he drew a circle on it.
Au milieu, il a mis le sigle du dollar.
And right in the middle, he drew a dollar sign.
Il a divisé en parties comme des parts de tarte.
And he divided that circle up like a pie.
Me dit, regarde, Michel.
And he said, look, Michel.
Si tu avais plus d'argent,
if you had more money,
tu pourrais avoir une plus grande maison.
You could have a bigger house.
Tu pourrais avoir une plus grande voiture.
You could have a bigger car.
Etc.
And so on and so forth.
Et me dit, tu pourrais être heureux.
And he said, you could be happy.
J'ai dit, tu sais.
I said, you know.
Je suis déjà heureux.
I'm already happy.
Regarde ma femme.
Look at my wife.
Je l'aime elle-même.
She loves me, I love her.
Regarde ces magnifiques enfants.
Look at these magnificent children.
Aussi intelligents.
They're intelligent.
Que leur maman.
Just like their mom.
Nous sommes heureux, nous sommes une famille heureuse.
We're happy, we're a happy family.
Finalement, il m'a donné son secret.
Finally, he gave him the secret.
Il m'a dit, pour t'enrichir.
He said, il m'a dit quoi?
Pour t'enrichir, pour devenir riche.
Oh, to become richer.
Tu dois devenir un vendeur.
You got to become a salesman.
D'Amway.
Of Amway.
Vous connaissez Amway?
Do you guys know Amway?
Alors j'en ai profité à ce moment-là.
So I seized the moment.
De lui prêcher one way.
To preach one way.
Instead of Amway.
Instead of Amway.
Vous savez, notre vie doit être un jour évaluée.
Do you know that our life will one day be evaluated?
Et je vous propose de faire le même exercice, de faire un cercle.
And I encourage you to do the same exercise with the circle.
De mettre Jésus au centre.
But put Jesus in the center.
Et d'être le disciple que Jésus veut que vous soyez.
And be the disciple that Jesus wants you to be.
Est-ce que je suis soumis au Seigneur?
Am I submitted to the Lord?
La façon dont j'utilise mon argent.
In the way that I use my money.
Mon temps.
My time.
La façon dont je me comporte avec mon conjoint.
The way I interact with my spouse.
Avec mes enfants.
With my children.
Ma relation avec l'église.
My relationship with the church.
Ma relation avec mes voisins.
My relationship with my neighbors.
Vous avez compris l'exercice.
You guys get the exercise.
William Booth a dit.
William Booth said.
Nous n'avons qu'une seule vie à vivre sur terre.
We have but one life to live on earth.
Pour qui, pourquoi allons-nous vivre?
And for whom and for what are we going to live?
J'aimerais terminer en vous donnant une expérience personnelle.
I'd like to end by giving you sharing an experience, a personal experience.
Je pense que jeune, j'étais assez ambitieux. Je voulais vraiment réussir.
Tu penses que qui était ambitieux?
Moi.
C'était toi qui étais ambitieux. Ah, d'accord. He thinks I was pretty ambitious.
Mais un jour, le Seigneur m'a comme donné son image à la croix.
But one day the Lord gave him an image of Jesus on the cross.
Une image spirituelle, je m'entends.
It's like a spiritual image, kind of like a vision.
Et c'est comme si Jésus me disait.
And it was like Jesus was saying to me.
Regarde mes clous dans mes mains.
Look at my hands. Look at the nails in my hands.
Regarde les clous dans mes pieds.
Look at the nails in my feet.
Regarde cette couronne sur la tête.
Look at this crown of thorns on my head.
J'ai fait tout ça pour toi.
I did all this for you.
Et toi?
And you.
Que feras-tu pour moi?
What are you going to do for me?
C'est la même question pour chacun de nous.
It's the same question for all of us.
Quelle place Jésus-Christ a dans nos cœurs?
What place does Jesus have in your life, in your heart?
Tu veux prier?
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, it's a simple message, but it's a deep message. It's a hard message, but it's a sweet message. Lord, we realize now, we've heard clearly that if we hold on to our own life and refuse to surrender it to you, we actually lose it. And the only way to actually have life is to give our life to you. And Jesus, you gave your life for us. You are so worthy of our life and 1,000 more lives. Jesus, you are worthy of everything. Would you help us to be disciples who don't hold back, Lord? Would you help us to be disciples who give you ourselves entirely? We pray this in your name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, my brother.